Wizard of Whiskey presents Swig and Ramble, a podcast for the modern age. Come for the whiskey, stay for the shit show. Featuring Justin Curry at Wizard of Whiskey, Mark Pruitt at Resonant Prose, and Gillian Menn at The Wee Tipple. And now, pour yourself a drink and enjoy the show. I know you will.
Welcome back, Ramblers. We're very excited for this episode, which is all about us, because we're narcissistic fuckers who love to talk about ourselves. But we also realized we never actually did a proper introduction about who we are and what our deal is. So welcome to episode 8. Hi, lads.
Can you spell narcissist?
Yes, I can. Do you want me to?
What are you're just saying that because you're looking at it, because you just read it off of a sheet.
I can't spell things, so...
How's everyone doing today?
Good.
No complaints.
That's
some complaints, because we have this whole feature about where we complain. That's pretty much the show, so you have to have complaints.
I mean, I have some serious complaints for tonight, but I feel like we should hold off because it's going to make Julia very angry. And before I get really angry, I just want to talk about some fun stuff, like the news, like Glenmorangie, and also... We're pulling a mark here and saying we're going to post-it note this for a later episode, talking about how the Scots pronounce things. Glenmorangie, we were having this discussion earlier. A lot of debate, actually.
Stay tuned for episode 612.
There you go.
It's pronounced Glenmorangie. What the fuck?
To be continued, Mark. To be continued. Anyway, we're going to say at Glenmorangie, they recently announced the release of X by Glenmorangie, which is a single malt scotch whiskey specifically created for mixed drinks. Very interesting stuff. So this new whiskey was created from a combination of whiskeys aged in bourbon casks and newly charred oak casks. And it came about from their dream of creating even more flavor possibilities, which ended up as a single malt made to mix, retailing for about $30 to $32. Really interesting stuff. I actually got a sample taste of it. Definitely see why it's a mixer. It was very light, very easygoing, with hints of honey and spice, a little bit of honeyed wood, a little bit of creaminess, some faint chocolate. But I found it was nice, it was lovely, but not quite a powerhouse sipper in and of itself, which is what I personally like for my single malt scotches. But I can definitely see where it would be really great as a mixer. And hey,
Julia, yes. Julia, it's a mixer. It's not supposed to stand on its own.
Yeah, no, like that's the point. And they did a great job because that's what it tastes like. And what's also super cool is on their website, they give a couple of recipes specifically for this new mixing whiskey.
I'm going to disagree with Mark here on this one, because I got to say, just because something is made for mixing doesn't mean that it doesn't need to stand on its own. By that, I mean... If you take a Negroni, there are thousands of potential combinations of hundreds of different gins and other botanicals and other things that you can do. With this Glenmorangie X, I'd be interested to taste through and see how it stands on its own. And I see that there's some different tasting notes, creamy, sherry, chocolate, all this other stuff. It's fine.
Wait, are you talking about something else? I thought we were talking about Glenmorangie.
See, episode 612. Come back later.
So Glenmorangie is how I'm going to pronounce it from now the fuck on.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so for posterity, Glenmorangie is probably one of my favorite whiskeys. Glenmorangie 18, come on. That's near or at the top of my list.
Really? We'll have to send you a sample. But in the meantime, I wasn't done.
I'm running right over you. I don't understand what they're doing here. First of all,
stand by itself.
$32 mixer? Come on. That doesn't make any sense.
We're talking about single malt scotch whiskey as a mixer. I mean, that's a pretty damn entry-level price point for that sort of spirit.
Yeah, I mean, you can get Glenfiddich for $30. You can get Glenlivet for $30.
You can get a bottle of Old Tub for $17 and use it as a mixer. This doesn't make any sense to me.
Let's move on. I mean, it sucks.
Is Old Tub single malt scotch, Mark?
Does it matter if you're going to mix it?
I mean, if we're talking about mixers, but we're also talking about prices.
My bitch isn't that it's a single malt. My bitch is that it's priced incorrectly for being something that is supposedly a mixer. That's my bitch.
No, but the whole point is that it is a single malt scotch mixer. And you're also not taking into consideration the fact that it's from Scotland. Of course, it's going to be more expensive.
Remind us, # Rusty Neil. Okay, moving on. What's up with this New Zealand thing?
Okay, well, for all of you New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc lovers, of which I myself am part of that club, a little bit of bad news, maybe. We might be seeing a severe shortage of New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc because of spring frosts combined with drought-like harvest conditions. Marlborough Sauvignon Blanc yields, which are, by the way, the second largest next to France, have dropped by 30%.
Aren't there like 30 people on the island of New Zealand? What did somebody do? Knock over a bucket?
Actually, multiple islands, but go on.
Had the thing pull up. Why did you just start recording it again? I'm so confused. Where did you want us to jump in?
Go.
So is the shortage environmental? Did somebody knock over a tub or what happened here? I'm confused.
I mean, again, it's going to be really weather related. The spring frosts, drought. That fucked up the grapes, man. There were a lot of hot, dry months and weather prior to harvest, which really just exacerbated the entire problem. And therefore, the yields really suffered as a result. So that's unfortunate. It seems like
they're calling it a climate dilemma, which is interesting.
Bullshit. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mute my mic.
I see.
Wait a minute. Are you a climate change naysayer, Mark?
I'd never said that.
And yet you know what? I'm also going to postmark this one for an entirely in-depth dive.
You can't see my face. This is voice only.
I think the cat's out of the bag on that one.
Did I leave my OnlyFans camera on, Julia?
Ew, gross.
Oh, dear God. I don't know what the hell's going on with Mark today, but I want to know what the fuck's in his glass.
Yeah, please. So we can all stay away from it because it's all
great. Shit, man.
Is that my cue? Was I supposed to go?
No, it's fine. I'm gonna jump on to Sours My Mash because I do have a Sours My Mash. Frankly, they have so many fucking things that sour my mash this week that I can't just pick one.
Let's get started. Let's go. Come on.
These two won't let me fucking talk about politics on here. And I had some things to say. I'm going to skip that.
Have you looked in a mirror lately? We know what your politics are.
Oh, sick burn.
Wow. Well, I'm going to say this. I'm going to say fuck Marjorie Taylor Greene and fuck the GOP.
Mm.
That's what sours my mash. Go ahead. Joya, what do you got?
Okay. Holy shit, tits. It was a wild day. I don't know what the fuck was in the air or in the water. What the fuck? So, when I drive to work, it's a whole 8-minute drive, 5 of which are on the highway. And I was coming up to my exit. So I was in the right-hand lane, but still going, you know, a reasonable amount above the speed limit. So it's not like I was dawdling whatsoever. And some motherfucker comes and passes me on the right-hand side. Who the fuck does that? Where are the fucking cops when people do shit like this? Oh my God, it made me so angry. And you know what? That was just the beginning of the day. The amount of zany, wild, just weird people that came through and that I interacted with all day, it was just, it's weird. So that's what sours my mash, you know?
Hey, weird. Julia.
What?
If you're going about your day, and you run across one person who's an asshole, we kind of know who that is. If you go throughout your day and everybody's an asshole, it's kind of some bad news.
That I moved to the wrong place and there are a lot of fucking assholes here, Mark, is what that means.
Okay? You're getting passed on the right. That's your own fault.
How is that? Oh my God.
We're going to pause right there for some messages from our sponsors and give Mark a talking to.
HR.
So I guess it's my turn. What sours my mash?
Do we care what sours your mash?
You do. You care very deeply. Because
fucking thing sours this guy's mash. He has 191.
Listen, fucking pet sounds boy. We're going to address that at some point in the show.
We address it every fucking week. What are you talking about?
That's right. We're going to address it until you change your mind. Until you say something from Black Sabbath or some much better band than
Black
fucking
Sabbath. Pet Don't keep sounds. Me wrong. Black Sabbath is good-ish, but they're not I would never choose an album from Black Sabbath as the best album.
How dare you on the anniversary date of Ronnie James Dio's death that you insult Black Sabbath, Heaven and Hell being the single best album ever recorded on the face of this fucking planet. And when I was out of town, I bought the 2021 remaster of Black Sabbath's Heaven and Hell. I want you to know that that was something that didn't sour my mash. That was something that was a treat. And in a very Clockwork Orange style, I'm going to feed that into your brain until you convert. So what sours
your mash? Oh my God, what was all that about?
That was the longest lecture about nothing in the history of the world.
What the fuck? You're talking about music. Come on, baby.
You're talking about Black Sabbath. What the fuck sours your mash? So we can get on the ship, please.
Okay. What sours my mash is state-controlled liquor stores. They fucking suck. States who state control liquor fucking suck. And that's all I have to say about that. Fuck you guys.
Well, there it is. Straight from Mark's mouth to your ears.
So here's something I wanted to kind of discuss. Something I kind of wanted to talk about today. I want to see where this conversation takes us a little bit.
Can you go faster?
Normally.
We're fucking burning time here. We're like 40 minutes into the podcast. And
we were like 4 minutes into the podcast, but somebody was fucking late. It was Mark. Normally, at the beginning of a new show, like new podcast, new show, new whatever, people kind of introduce themselves to the audience. Yeah, we decided to do that after we realized we didn't do that. So we're going to take this opportunity. We actually reached out to the Swig and Ramble community, huge, bigly community of people, and they shot us some questions. So we're going to jump in. Joya, being the lady of the group, is going to introduce herself first. Mark, being the second lady of the group, is going to introduce himself. And then I will go third. And then we're going to jump into some questions that people asked us. So, Julia, what do you got?
Hey, welcome. So excited to have you all here. I'm Julia Men, co-host of Swig and Ramble, obviously. And man, it's just been a wild trip. I'm part of a podcast. How cool is that? I mean, I've had, oh God, how old am I now? I don't know. But I've been in the wine and spirits
70.
Industry. Yeah, 70. For 75 years, I've been in the wine and spirits industry because I can do math because I'm a little old lady. No, wait, what?
Wow, that took a really weird turn.
And we lost all three listeners.
Yeah, all three listeners, which are our parents, maybe?
My parents are listening to this shit. Are you kidding?
Yeah, I think my mom listens out of pity. But, you know, that's okay. She's so nice. She probably hates every time I swear.
Oops. At least your mom knows.
We need to publish a review by your mom on the website. We need to accomplish that. We need a written review from your mother.
It would be like, Julia's fantastic. I love her. She's the best. Hire her.
That's Nancy Mann, if you're listening, please publish this.
Wait. Can we interview your mom?
Can we get through this show? Let's start there.
Stopping us. Yeah, let's. Okay. Anyway, start. Mark, goddammit, how many times have you gotten us off track tonight? You are still on vacation, Mark.
Haven't met my quota for tonight, so keep talking.
Anyway, I'm Julia Men. I own Louis Tipple, which is a wine and spirits tasting company where I do virtual and in-person tasting events. Super fun, super educational. I make wine and whiskey accessible to everyone who is of legal drinking age. I got into wine and spirits when I was living in New Zealand. did multiple certifications. I'm certified with the Wine and Spirit Education Trust, as well as the Whiskey Ambassador. I'm also a certified gin ambassador. I am the assistant editor of a major whiskey lifestyle publication, you know, and I'm doing a podcast. Mark, stop doing lewd signals. You're so gross. Anyway, that's my jam back on the East Coast. If you're looking for a girl who makes wine and whiskey fun and easy to understand, that's me. Hit me up, theweetippleLLC.com. What?
Or, you know, Swig and Ramble too. You can reach her at Swig and Ramble as well.
Oh, yeah. Swig and Ramble, like the podcast that I do. Yeah. Check that up. That's super cool too. These guys, they're okay, I guess.
I can't follow that, Justin. You have to go next.
No, Mark. You're going to take us to a swim in Lake Mark. Go ahead.
No, I'm not going next. You
that
go.
Sounds really murky.
I'm like not following that.
Going on.
Yes, it's very deep. It's very invasive. Moody. Lots of undercurrents.
Yeah.
Right. Well, while Mark collects his thoughts, let's go to a question, and then we'll introduce Mark, and then we'll introduce me. How did you all meet? Jessica, one of our first ramblers, wants to know, how did we all meet?
Hi, Jessica. Thanks for the question.
We all met because we all enjoy whiskey. We all were on various social medias, and the content community for whiskey is very small, as of the actual physical, like, distilling community. So we all kind of started talking about working together, and that's sort of how this was all born.
That's bullshit. We all did cocaine in the same bathroom up in Hollywood, and that's how we met. It was like, fuck, let's start a podcast.
God damn it, Mark. Now everyone's going to want some of our stash. Ugh, so basic.
What do you think of that, HR?
Not sharing my coke. All right. How did you all get interested in the business? I believe this is also Jessica, one of our early ramblers.
Jessica. Right on, Jessica. Two questions.
Hi.
Julia, how did you get interested in the biz?
Ooh, well, that really kicked off for me when I moved to New Zealand. So in New York, I had drank some wine. Turns out a lot of the wine I was drinking was New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc, which I bought based on the label and the price point, which was under $10 and it had a cool label. But when I moved to New Zealand, I'm like, whoa, wine. And I ended up on Waiheke Island, which is outside of Auckland. And it's a wine island with over 30 vineyards on the island. And I got there right before the holidays, so everywhere was hiring. So I just kind of walked into a job at the winery that I decided I wanted to work at. And I became the assistant manager of their cellar door, and it just opened my entire mind to the world of wine, which was so exciting and new, and it combined a lot of my different passions. And long story short, too late, ended up leading me to getting the certifications, and my first Wine and Spirit Education Trust certification also introduced me to spirits on a much deeper level. And so that's where I really started getting into whiskey properly. Because up until that point, up until 2018-ish, I didn't even like whiskey and I never thought I would. It was anathema to me. It was like, but now, freaking love it. I always loved gin, which maybe we'll talk about a little bit later on the show. But yeah, that was kind of my entry level of getting into the wine and spirits industry as a whole.
Mark, how did you get interested in the biz?
I used to be a part of a whiskey community, I still am a part of a whiskey community, and they put out a, hey, we're looking for writers kind of thing. I think I've always sort of had the strain in my DNA that I've been a writer, and there was a series of events in my life that just sort of led me to a point to where I said, you know what, fuck it, I'm going to take a chance. I like whiskey. Admittedly, I'm still a little bit of a noob on the journey. I'm still learning a lot of things, but I've dipped my toes into the pool, and I think I've got a little bit of knowledge. I don't have any fancy fucking certifications that I can squeak out there, but you know, whatever. If you got a little bit of money, I guess you could put a certificate on your wall that says something.
You know what, Mark?
Don't interrupt, Julia. Don't interrupt me. Don't you remember what HR said?
Fuck off, Mark.
No, but seriously, to me, this has been sort of eyes wide open journey, right? You get together with a couple of people that have great experience. Gin is vomit, by the way. it's been a great opportunity for me to learn and getting into this business and talking to people, helping to tell their stories around whiskey. That's been a highlight for me. I love doing that. And that's really what I get off on doing. So doing this podcast and delving into that with people in the spirits business has been a great thing for me.
Awesome. Mark, happy to have you here. Justin, tell us about your interest.
Sure. I actually got interested in the biz when I was a child. I wanted to be an artist, some kind of artist, or a history teacher, or a soccer player, professional soccer player. Blew my knee, so soccer was out. Can't draw a straight line, so art was out. But there's something called culinary arts. So I really got into it when I was a child, like I said, 7 or 8, probably even earlier than that. My first picture with me wearing one of those bags on my head was probably, I was like 5. And I just always liked to cook. So got into the culinary world, enjoyed it, realized I would much rather help people run their restaurants than open my own. I was never destined to open my own restaurant. So did the culinary thing, did the culinary school thing, did all that, worked in restaurants, worked my way around the East Coast, West Coast, Middle America, Midwest. And at one point on the East Coast, people kept asking me questions, 19, 20 years old. They're like, hey, well, what should I drink with this? And I don't have a fucking clue. What do I know about anything? So I went into this wine store down the street from where I worked, and I asked them if they could, if I could get a second job. And for a year, they said no. After a little over a year, I went back in and the GM walks out and he's like, no, before you ask, I'm just going to fucking hire you. No one's ever bothered us this much. No one's ever been this persistent. So fuck it, you're in. So I got hired, and my first Saturday, it was like a Thursday, I got hired. And that Saturday, I was pouring wine for people. And I'm like, wait a second. I'm over here like a dumbass, fire in my face, oil on my clothes, smelling like shrimp and garlic and, garbage every night. And I'm sitting here in a, suit and tie pouring wine, getting paid to talk to people. Cool. I want to do that. So that's kind of my journey. I started there, and then I got into spirits and got into whiskey. The whiskey journey was a little longer and more complicated for me. So I won't get into that on this episode, but let's just say I'd been writing about whiskey for a decade and a half.
So, hey, Emeril, what's your signature dish?
My signature dish? I make a mean pot pie.
Ooh.
That's what $750,000 in culinary education will get you. Not a fucking thing. No. I don't really have a signature dish. I really have more of a signature style, which is fusing classical recipes with modern cooking techniques and modern ingredients. So not modern ingredients, but like putting them together in a different way. So,
mean like cooking the potatoes before you cook the steak, or?
No. And you still haven't really given us much of an answer for yours, sir, by the way. What do you do when you're not bothering the shit out of us? What's your...
I have a corporate gig. I'm just an office drone. Trust me, I love my day job, but my other persona, my other second personality is far more fascinating, don't you think?
Yeah. Okay.
On to the next question. Yeah, Roger, my friend Roger. Roger, I love you. You're fantastic. And fuck off, Mark. He's making hands at me. Gross. Anyway, Roger wants to know what's the most expensive or prestigious or fancy pants wine you've had that you thought to yourself, meh. And I'm going to make an executive decision and open the floor up on this question to any sort of spirit. So not just focusing it on wine, what kind of wine or spirit that's supposedly super high-end, prestigious, did you just like, you weren't impressed by? Justin?
Oh, shit.
On the spot. You're in the hot seat.
Cool. The first wine was a 6-liter bottle of 2000 Mouton Rothschild.
Mm.
It probably, I mean, at this point, it was probably selling for $5,000, maybe $8,000, probably closer to $8,000, I think, on the size of the wine. I'm a Bordeaux fan, don't get me wrong, but I certainly don't have the pockets for first growth Bordeaux. My wife gives me a lot of leeway on my vices, which are books and booze.
Good vices.
Vices. I'm certainly not spending that kind of dough on a wine. So it was okay. Obviously it needed some time, but even after the time, it's sort of like, come on, man, I'd much rather have something like a Lafon Roche or a third or a fourth or even a fifth growth. That's, you know, far better, like Lynchbage or something. That's just killer. Ranked like a second growth and the price of a fifth growth. So, on the whiskey side, I'm not going to answer.
Ooh, curious. We're going to circle back on this later.
We do at some point want people to, you know, send us product and things like that. You guys are welcome, but I'm gonna abstain until my book is published.
Yeah, excellent life choice. Maybe I'll rethink my answers to this. Mark, do you have anything you weren't ever overly impressed by?
Well, you know, when I made my first million, I bought a bottle of 53 Chateau Lafite, and I just thought it was shit. I'm just kidding. I have no idea what the fuck I'm talking about. you know what I will tell you is I bought a bottle of Opus One at some point in my life, and I feel robbed. I'm just not. What's the point? I don't know. Maybe my palate just isn't developed enough, but whatever. And I'm going to take a shot. Johnny Walker Blue. Fuck that stuff. Not worth it. That's my whiskey.
Oh, there you go. Mine, there's not one specific bottle that disappointed me. And I wasn't disappointed, but I would say when I was in Burgundy, tasting at a couple of the vineyards and tasting the Grand Crus and the Premier Crus, I could tell these were really excellent, high quality wines, but they just didn't do it for me. It just wasn't really what Julia personally really, really enjoys. So I'm going to go with that. Absolutely nothing wrong. They were excellent, excellent wines, but they just didn't really float my boat.
Not everything can be Chateau Neuf de Pop, Julia. I'm sorry.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
And we just lost all Burgundian, Scotch, Napa, and Bordeaux producers from ever.
I'll give you a message on your way out, folks.
They can't see us, Mark. They can't see us.
In case you're wondering, he's flipping everyone off.
Theater of the mind.
Oh God, we probably didn't have many listeners to begin with, but now
that was a great question. We just killed the show with that question.
Thanks, Roger.
So this next question comes from, Robert Mondavi is a member of the group because he submitted this question. He wants to know, what is your first memorable alcohol experience? Now, Julia's probably going to blather on about some white wine spritzer. So, Justin, why don't you go first and why don't you kick us off here?
Wow. It's funny because I was thinking the same thing. So my first memorable alcohol experience was a mistake my grandfather made. He had a glass of whiskey every night. It was not an alcoholic. He just had, you know, a little glass of, you know, of whatever. And it was Old Granddad, surprisingly, because it was in the South. And I was like 5, maybe 6. And I asked, I'm like, Sito, what is, that's the Arabic word for grandfather. I'm like, Sito, what's in the glass? What is this? Can I have some? And he, yeah, go ahead. All right, fuck it. Tasted it. And he was expecting me to spit it out and hate it. And it didn't. I was like, this is good. This is interesting. I guess you could say I had a palate even as a child. I really loved it. I used to even go around. So they had a little store in Arkansas. And I would go around and I would pick different candies to pair with different sodas. Grape soda and Kit Kat. Dr. Pepper and Baby Ruth. I'm telling you, I had a whole system at like 7, 8 years old.
I can't even handle your bullshit right now. That is just...
We've taken geek to a whole new level.
The saddest thing on the planet, 100% true. Julia, talk to us about the white man's picture.
Fucking Baby Ruth and Dr. Pepper and Pet Sounds.
Wow, yeah, I need a moment to process this. Like, good on ya. I mean, I've always been one to sniff everything. You know, I will literally stop and smell the roses.
Yeah.
But, Julia's fucking story probably involves that shitty wine that's in the commercial on TV. What's it called? Michelle Smith, or has some weird name.
Kim Crawford.
There you go, Kim Crawford. That's
I like how I understood him from
yes.
Smith.
Yes.
We talked about Kim Crawford on here yet? Yeah. Anyway, we will if we haven't already.
I'm 100% certain your story involves it in some way.
Well, you're 100% wrong, Mark, because
you have certifications. That's why I forgot.
Yes, I do. Anyway, but my first memorable alcoholic experience actually involved gin. Yeah, that's right. Read it and weep, Mark. It was
vomit. Gin. Vomit.
No. So my brother and I were at the country club, and I might have been underage. What? And he's older than I am, and I don't know why we were there, maybe for his graduation party or something, but he was up at the bar, and I sidled up next to him, and he had a drink, and he's like, here, try this. And I'm like, what is it? And he's like, it's a gin and tonic. It's the businessman's drink. And so I tasted it, and I fell in love. It was Tanqueray and tonic. And so, yes, I do still enjoy Tanqueray to this day, because it was such a memory, and it was so delightful. And I absolutely love gin. And yeah, it was a very fun moment of bonding with my older brother, and just a very cool experience as an underage illegal drinker.
I just like how she just nonchalantly threw that she was at a fucking country club.
Yeah, I know. I got that too.
So there I was at the country club, and I was hanging out with the lads, and
la da 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 da. Yeah, I mean, my grandparents were part of a country club for their entire life. So, sorry, not what.
Don't apologize for being white, Mark. What do you got?
I feel so bad now.
So now I have two experiences I actually want to relay. Just very quickly, I was working my way through college, and there was a local Lush that used to come into this store at like 10 or 11 a.m. every Saturday morning, and she would buy gin. This is part of the reason why I fucking hate gin. She would buy gin, and she would buy bottles of vermouth. Not sweet vermouth, the fire-ass shit vermouth that tastes like crap. Yes. Not quality vermouth. This was bullshit vermouth. Come on, this is a local Lush. Plastic 1 liter bottles of gin, store label, bullshit stuff. Whatever. I'm working, and I'm a checker, and she goes to put a bottle on the counter and drops the bottle, and an entire bottle of vermouth spills all over the front of me, and it is the beginning of my shift. And I smell like fucking vermouth for the rest of my entire shift. I now have baked into my DNA a natural hatred of vermouth, and by association, I fucking hate gin. So my second experience, which is funnier, if there's a statute of limitations, I'm praying to God that this exists, because in college, or not in college, at a different time in my life, I worked in a liquor store, and I would tell my friends, come in and I will ask for your ID. You show me your ID and I'll sell you some stuff. I'm not telling you what I sold them, but use your imagination. So a friend of mine was having a party. He came in and he bought a bunch of alcohol. I happened to be working that night. I got off work. I showed up. Everybody was throwing up in the front yard because they drank too much alcohol because they didn't know how to handle themselves. So those are my memorable two experiences with alcohol.
Wow. Those are a little bit sad. I'm sorry.
Cool. So you contributed to the delinquency and possible death of minors. Good job.
That is absolutely untrue. I didn't sell alcohol to the best of your knowledge.
Oh, huh.
Allegedly.
The thousands of law enforcement officers currently listening to this podcast are going, all right, what's next? What do we have another question?
Yes, there's another question. Hazel, my good friend Hazel. Hazel, I love you. What is your favorite spirit and movie pairings, please? And I swear to God, I'm going to reach through the internet and I'm going to smack one or the both of you because I'm anticipating what that answer is. So be careful with your choices here.
I'm excited to hear what you think we're going to say, because I'm just going to jump out there with my ultra nerdiness and say mead and or cider paired with Lord of the Rings.
Good answer.
Yes.
Now I'm going to come to the internet.
Why? Well, what? No, I don't even want to know why.
That was the nerdiest thing that has ever nerded. Let me just say that. Mark, what's yours?
Mine is the movie Highlander. And of course, Glenmorangie, because he asked for Glenmorangie in the movie. That's where I learned about Glenmorangie. Double Glenmorangie on the rocks. He asked for it in the movie. That is my favorite movie and drink pairing.
Okay. Cool. I'm going to go with a movie that I recently saw, because we chose to watch to have Bad Movie Day just the other day. And it was a movie called Sand Sharks. Definitely worth a watch. And I didn't drink during it, but I really, really fucking wish I had. So I'm going to go with Jaeger Bombs, which I don't drink, but Jaeger Bombs and Sand Sharks. Do it. Send us a message at wefuckedupswigandramble.com, at Gmail, all that stuff, hashtags, all that things.
I'm
where the fuck did you just go with that? Like, what? We fucked up at what?
I don't know, but I like it.
See, I just want to I want to thank you both for not mentioning the fucking Godfather films. I hate the Godfather films. I have never seen as much as 2 minutes of any of those films. I hate it when people talk about them. Don't ever talk about them. I don't want to hear about it.
Why do you hate them if you've never seen them?
First of all, you can't hate something you've never seen.
Yeah.
Second of all, I'm going to whack you with a fucking cannoli.
Yes, exactly. Go fuck yourself.
And I was surprised none of us mentioned Sideways, because, you know.
Fuck that asshole.
If you mention Sideways, I'm kicking you off of the show.
Fucking Rex Pickett. All right, what's in your fucking
bag? Yeah, I'm like, I need a drink, kids. I need a real drink. So we're going to take a brief interlude and talk about what the fuck.
I just heard something open. That's kind of...
That's different. That's different, especially...
I got a little aroused after hearing
that. Ew, what's wrong with you, Mark? Gross.
Many, many, many things. Let me answer that.
Many things, yeah.
There's nothing wrong with me.
All the stuff's really.
Uh-huh.
All right. Mark, what's in your glass, bud?
Tonight in my glass, I have Belfort Spirits Rye. Love it, love it, love it. Go out, buy it, try it. It is a great drink. Love Belfort Spirits. Born for glory.
All right.
Short. Belfortspirits.com. Go try it. We love you. Sponsor the show. Love it.
Justin, what are
you wonder drinking? If he loves it. I am drinking something local to me, at least, because the rest of you don't know local, because local is, you know, it's all local.
Can you move on? We're running out of time.
Trying to here. I love
Jesus
it.
Christ.
God.
40 minutes into the show and you're still darkness waxing poetic about what you're drinking.
Darkness Awaits. It's from Original Pattern Brewing. It's an oatmeal stout. I have to say, it's really nice.
Well, hold on. Hold the phone a second. So you just said an oatmeal stout, correct? As in a beer, correct? And yet, dear Ramblers, which you cannot see, but I shall indulge you with this visual. He's drinking it out of a wrought crystal wine glass.
Yeah, bitches. You know why? Because all my fucking beer stuff, my beer tasting glasses are in storage, as is a good couple of hundred cases of booze.
That's a beautiful glass. Don't get me wrong, but just like
it's actually a perfect stout glass because it allows the, you know, it's actually a perfect stout glass.
Wow. Okay. Well, I am drinking.
What's in your glass, Kim Crawford?
Shut the front door. I'm not actually drinking from a glass. I'm drinking from a can. And because I have a lot of samples I need to get through. So I just decided to pop some. Normally, I do random drinking every
Friday. Is that a White Claw?
No. Just shut up and listen. I'll tell you.
That is a fucking White Claw. I saw it.
No, it's not. It's called Nomadica. One, it's beautiful. They have these, this is probably the prettiest canned wine I have ever seen. I mean, granted, most canned wines aren't super pretty, but this is actually set apart. They have these, it looks like watercolor paintings as the artwork. So I'm drinking the Nomadica Sparkling White. I had the Still Rosé earlier. They also have a Sparkling Rosé and a Red Blend. This is craft wines from around the world, sommelier curated, designed by artists, run by women. Sparkling white wine, 13% alcohol. They have tasting notes online. You can find the art, and there's apparently also music that you can find on Spotify related to the can. So there's a lot going on, and each can is 1/3 of a bottle of wine. It's light, sustainable, BPA free, tastes the same as from glass bottles, but more fun. So
the GIMP takes a piss in a can and you paint a hummingbird on it and people like Julia go apeshit for it?
No, actually, because I'm usually pretty critical when it comes to canned wines. Most of them are utter shite, unless you want to sponsor us, and then I will revisit my tasting notes.
Good time.
I hope our first sponsor is a box wine, to be honest. I think that would just be fucking awesome.
I mean, there is a time and a place for box wine, I guess, because people drink it a lot. Anyway, so I had the Still Rosé earlier, and I think I liked it a little bit more. The sparkling white in a can, not much sparkle going on, but it has been open for a couple of minutes. But honestly, there should still be some sparkle going on. But
so safe to say you're 2/3 of a bottle of wine in.
Maybe.
Explains a lot of your language.
It's 1/3 of a bottle of wine.
You just said you were on your second one. You had the rosé earlier.
I don't do math. I'm an artist, okay? Fuck off.
What's 1 + 1?
6.
I don't know. How many fingers are you holding up?
Guys, I went to public schools in Tennessee. Of course, I'm not going to fucking do math. So Mark better do the fucking math in the group.
Yeah. So anyway, very cool packaging, very cool labeling, cool concept. I like the Still Rosé better because it had a bit more flavor. This is very short on the palate, very quick finish, which, does anyone like a quick finish? Let us know, Ramblers. Let us know.
Come hang out with me. I'll show you what I got.
Ew. Yeah. Anyway.
Good luck getting past Mark's wife. And on that note.
She's asleep. She's fine.
Questions.
You know, I just want to say, I want to get back to a point to where we're not all bonkers about the fucking packaging, that we're actually kind of hard up for the stuff that's actually in the packaging versus saying I can read all of these buzzwords and look at a pretty painting on the can and make exceptions for the moderate product that exists inside of it.
Yeah, there is so much in there that relates to things way beyond alcoholic beverages.
Hold on, I'm going to stop you right there. I'm going to go Kanye on you or whatever. Have you seen the bottle for Belfort Spirits? It's Art Deco. It's got this, it's got these pretty little designs.
Now I'm gonna go Kanye on, which I don't understand the reference. But Bobby asks, what do we do when we're not doing the thing like the podcast? So Mark, what do you do when you're not interrupting us?
Well, as I've stated before, I'm a writer. I like to do interviews. I like to connect very talented people to whiskey, their love of whiskey, their journey into whiskey. I have interviewed rock stars. I have interviewed people from television. I have interviewed professional sports athletes who have started spirits companies, Belfort Spirits, belfortspirits.com. Please sponsor us. We love you. That's my life. I'm a writer. I love doing that. And, you know, I can't decide whether I like interrupting Julia or Justin more. When I interrupt Justin, he just kind of lets it bounce off of him. I haven't gotten under Justin's skin just yet, and I haven't really broken into
and
just climbing climbing underneath him. But
I'm way too polite to really interrupt people, but I felt like he was just begging to be interrupted, and yet I still didn't because I'm far too polite. So aside from being a ridiculous workaholic.
Hey Julia.
What?
I just wanted to interrupt you just because I could. Keep going.
You know, if I took it, hey, Ramblers, new drinking game. We take a shot every time I say, fuck off, Mark.
#clubhouse drinking game.
Here's
merchandise coming soon.
Let's go. Okay. Anyway, what do I do? Jesus, what do I do? This is a real existential crisis moment because, as I said, I'm a severe workaholic. So a lot of things are really just related to me working or stressing because I'm not working. I do archery. That's pretty awesome. I shoot bare bow, which means I shoot off the... No, Mark, I don't shoot naked. I shoot off the top of my hand, okay?
That was my question too. Not his fault. Go on.
Yeah,
anyway. I was actually going to ask, do you do that at the fucking country club? I wasn't going to. Whatever you whatever you do it bareback. That's your business.
Long gone. No, I shoot a traditional English longbow where I shoot the arrows off the top of my hand, and I made my own arrows. I also like to read when I don't read, you know, educational and or work-related books. Are there any safety
concerns when you do it bareback, or?
No one said anything about bareback.
Oh, what did you call it?
Bare bow.
I thought, yeah.
I
have a hand guard on. If you don't wear a hand guard, you most likely will get feathers lodged into the skin of your hand, which would be very painful. I don't recommend it. So please.
So kids always wear protection.
Yeah, wear protective gear when participating
when you bareback
activities like that. Anyway, well, yeah.
Getting protective gear when you bareback, because that defeats the.
Yeah. Anyway, Justin. What do you like to do?
All kinds of things. I write.
I'm claiming victory on this because Justin interrupted you too.
Perfect. I do all kinds of things. I write. I consult. I teach. I educate. I am a wine and spirits buyer in my day job. I'm also working on several projects, contracts coming soon. So I'm excited about several opportunities there. I'm looking forward to this. So Rebecca asks, what keeps you motivated in your life/your endeavors? Thank you for the question and all the ramblers who submitted. Who submitted questions. Those are all of the dogs, by the way, in case you were wondering. There's 96 of them. So I don't know. You know what? I'm going to give this to Julia first. What motivates you?
Oof. Honestly, I have thought about this one for a long time. And by a long time, I mean many years. I've been in therapy for many years. Highly recommend it for everyone. I'm not sure it's so much about motivation as it is about dedication. Like, I don't feel motivated every goddamn day I wake up, but I am dedicated and I am disciplined. So I will get up and do the things that I need to do or think I need to do to get to where I want to be, even if I don't necessarily feel like doing it. Motivation is great. I wish I had more of it. But I think it comes down to dedication, and the dedication is tied to my passion and to my goals. If at some point further down the line, my passion and or my goals change, I'll reassess my dedication and act accordingly. Excellent question, though. Thanks for writing in, Rebecca. Appreciate it. Mark, what about you?
There was a point in my life where I had a twinkle in my eye and I would give an answer like what you gave, where, you know, I was just doing it because that's what my passion is and that's what I was chasing after. And then at some point in my life, I just realized that that's fucking bullshit. So what motivates me is just doing it, just climbing up into people's brains and either exposing them as being full of shit or telling a great story. I do it for me. I do it for the readers. And that's what motivates me. Either I get you to laugh, I get you to think, or I get you to reach out and tell me why I'm wrong.
Well, I'm afraid that's all the time we have.
Justin, you're not getting off the hook. Answer that question, son.
What motivates me is my wife potentially beating me. I'm just kidding. Domestic violence is never funny. Never. It's sometimes funny.
He's telling the truth, folks.
I'm like, that's a great motivator.
She's standing right behind him.
She actually asked me when, because I tell her, like, because she wakes up earlier than I do. She asks, hey, do you want me to wake you up? And are you going to be mean to me if I do wake you up? And like, cause I have to get down the stupid elliptical that we spent $48 billion on. So I got up this morning, I hit the elliptical at 7 a.m. I was in my car for an 8:30 conference call on the way to work, killed it. So yeah, I mean, what motivates me essentially is just knowing that, I enjoy what I do. I managed to spend my life and my career so far doing what I enjoy, rather than just being miserable. And that's really kind of what motivates me, is just knowing that I can go and get up and actually enjoy what I do.
Why did you look at me when you said that?
I wasn't, literally was not looking at you. You were the last fucking person I was looking at. I was like looking at this bottle down here. So I guess from my camera, it's fine. Mark, wrap us the fuck up.
All right. Well, listen, especially to those ramblers that did submit some questions. Thank you for that. To all you other ramblers who are listening or left or in the midst of writing an angry email about the things that Julia said today. I don't blame you. Thank you for doing that. Please go to swigandramble.com. Please go to swigandramble on Facebook. Like, view, interact with us. We love hearing from you guys. We love your posts. Some great posts up there. Love the pictures you guys are posting. All of it is wonderful. For Julia, you can find her at I Need More Therapy and I Love KimCrawford.com. No, you can find her at the We Tipple LLC. You can find Justin at Bev Fluence makes bombs out of shoes. I'm just kidding. I won't go there. Bev Fluence or Wizard of Whiskey, take your pick. He's at both and he's great at both of them. And then I am at Resonant Pros. There's nothing there, but please go there and make fun of it. Force me into do something different with it.
Oh, God, Mark. What are we going to do with you, son?
You know what? I ran out of steam. You want me to do that over again? You want me to put a little more oomph in it? I felt like maybe I kind of,
it's
psychological motivation.
Fine. You know what? We're just gonna cut us all off. We're cutting us all off here, like the bar for an 18-year-old just cut off. So ramblers, please join us next time when we discuss those assholes who only want Weller.
Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time. Follow us at Swig and Ramble on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter for more fermented fuckery. Cheers!